It's not lost on me that while you gave me my freedom, I am now taking yours. You will become a slave, Uhtred.
No.
And Halleck with you.
No, no, you have no argument with Halleck. Let him go free.
No, Lord, I will stay beside
you. Uhtred, let him go free, I beg you.
You see? This is a reason why you're being caged. You inspire loyalty. You inspire loyalty from my men.
Uhtred, I gave you my word. My sword!
But what I need is 200 swords. I need 200 men. And that is your worth. 200 Christian men of Beppenburg.
My uncle Edfridge.
He asked for your head. But slavery will be enough, I'm sure.
It would be better to kill me, but you lack the courage. Kill me, sword in hand.
My sister would never forgive me.
Kill me!
Goodbye, Osbert.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to the show The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So let's sit back and see how England was born.
My name's Blake, and I knew it that little freaking rat. Ugh. That rat. Oh, what a mess.
Yes, so true.
Freaking Guthrid.
Like, what do you, as if his voice and his demeanor didn't bother us enough, he just has to go and be like the worst king ever.
Do you know what he reminds me of the most? The Bonnie Prince from Outlander Season 2.
Did a farce assassin.
Just want to punch his face.
I actually think the Bonnie Prince was better than Guthrid.
Just annoying.
Oh, and the annoyance level. Okay, I think
just
we can...
such a punchable face. Such like a...
Oh, goodness
like a,
me.
Like just a little rat.
A rat perfectly describes Guthrid.
Guthrid. Yeah. Ugh.
Too many close names. You can't
remember any of the freaking names.
The bad king. Exactly.
No, I can't. You can't. Nobody can.
Nobody can. And hopefully he'll be dead soon. So then that way I don't have to deal with him anymore. We just, of course, want to thank you all so incredibly much for still tuning in here at The Last Kingdom. We're excited to keep rocking and rolling here with season 2. Before we go into the episode, we want to give a huge shout out to our friends who are members at jointhenerdclan.com. If you're watching us in this video, comment below. Go Nerd Clan. Go. Let us know where you are tuning in from. And if you are listening to this as a podcast and you're like, what do you mean? How can I comment? You can actually follow Blake and I on Facebook and YouTube, where we have our videos go for our video podcast. Mm-hmm. So you can actually be part of our community there. So we'd love to see you there. All right, let's get into the show.
Well, Marvin, this one was episode 2 of season 2 for The Last Kingdom. Once again, it was being run by it was being produced by the BBC at this time, as next season is when Netflix finally takes over for this show. It was once again directed by Peter Hoare.
There we go.
Keep it coming, baby. Keep it coming, Peter.
Keep going, Peter. You're doing a great job, man.
I feel like you might as well just hand the reins over to this guy. I think he gets it.
Listen, I've been a fan so far of his work, so if he wants to keep it on up, I'd be fine with that.
This feels like Anna Forster in Outlander. Anna Forster was someone who just got it. Mm. She got the characters, got what the show was, got the feel for it. Peter Hoare feels like what Anna Forster is to Outlander.
You feel as a viewer that you're in really good hands. You feel a pace. You feel like all of the characters are understood.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I gotcha.
And of course, Peter Hoare directed episodes 107, 108, and obviously the last episode,
correct,
episode 201. Writer once again was Chris Bouchard, who was the showrunner at the time, and he wrote all of season one and the season opener, episode 201.
Very cool.
Marvin, your shields rating. How many shields are you giving this episode?
I'm giving this episode a 4.7. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay.
There's, once again, a lot of moving parts, a lot of people who I'm still trying to figure out where they belong in this puzzle piece, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of moving parts. Like a lot of moving parts here, a lot of different people coming in. You cannot tell me, you can never say that the Last Kingdom does not make full use of its 1 hour.
Seriously, we've said it before, and we are going to say it obviously many more times. When you watch these shows, when you watch The Last Kingdom, you feel like you watch three different episodes.
Absolutely.
Because they pack so much time, so much conflict, so many characters, and they do it well.
Yeah, like, and they and that's one thing I find with a lot of different shows, you know, they're trying to pack so much plot in, they forget about the characters, right? And mm-hmm. But this show, it doesn't, I mean, I can't say it doesn't do that, but
I mean, I still it does do it a not lot better. Love Uhtred, so yes. I'm still not on the like, oh my gosh, I just want him to like have his dreams come true. I mean, yes, I'd enjoy that for him, but I'm not there yet. I still enjoy it. If I had to root, if someone had to be my best friend, mm-hmm. it'd be someone else still, but that's okay.
Right.
Because Uhtred is still this young warrior man. You know, we have to look at it in this perspective. I think I frequently like female characters that yeah. I get to root for and I can understand and appreciate where they're coming from. So it's okay.
Well, you know what? Let's put a sword in that because there's okay. some great stuff happening here with that kind of thing. But my shields rating, I'm giving it 4.5 shields. It was better than the premiere. I felt that it was more focused on its characters. And also, I love that the show continues its great thematic run mm-hmm. of last episode, we watched Guthred go from being a slave to a king. And in this episode, we watch Uhtred go from being a lord and the person who's commanding an army to a slave in a heartbeat, just like that.
Yeah.
And that, and as Guthred says in the little clip we played, that does not get lost on me. And mm-hmm. I like how this show does those kind of things. So 4.5 shields from me. Your
GBG,
Madden.
Fantastic. My GBG, my good, my bad, and my great for this episode. My good is Hild. I feel like everyone needs a Hild. I still don't understand this nun. I don't understand what she's going to be doing with her life going forward. I thought one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. But like, I don't know how that works when you're a warrior nun. But she's got her armor on. She is ready to be. You know, she's ready to rock and roll. So I'm mm-hmm. just a big fan of Hild. My bad. I'm worried. Like, I don't know what really happens to slaves. I'm confused. It was hard for us to not go forward into the next episode. I'll say that because
yes.
I'm just concerned. I'm concerned for Uhtred. He just doesn't get a break. There are many other things that I could nitpick as an episode, but I'm just saying, I just feel bad for Uhtred. I think he needs a little vacation.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I may not know what happens to all these slaves and what's going to go down with them, but I'll tell you, I know that it ain't good.
I mean, he just helped Guthred. He just helped him and said, like, I will lead your army. Here I am, man. I've got this going on. And then he's betrayed. So shame on you, Guthred.
Yeah.
And then my great is going to be a surprising one for me.
Okay, what do you got?
I loved all the beheaded heads, like, on stakes.
Really?
Just, you know, you don't really get
Mary.
To see Uncle Scar. You don't really get to see the bad Uncle of Edinburgh that often. And for them to have, like, you know, that little bit. And then we also have the Kjartan, you know, situation with him looking out and seeing it. I just love knowing that the bad guys are eventually going to get their due.
They're going to get it right in the head. Like right in the head.
I don't know. I dig Uhtred wearing that dead animal's skull and rocking and rolling.
You tell me this is something I should be investing in?
Not at all.
No, okay.
Nope. I will have nightmares.
All the
cool.
nightmares.
I just thought it was cool.
Okay.
And they were like, there should be 7. Boop. There you go. Cut off
there's
head.
A seventh right there for you, or an eighth, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's it for you. Your GBUG.
Yes.
Okay. My good. Actually, Mary, it's something that you've been building on. You like having female characters to root for mm-hmm. and know that, you know, you can relate to them.
Yeah.
And this show is absolutely framing itself in that direction,
mm-hmm.
Between Hild, Gisela and Ethelfled, even Aelswith. We have some strong female characters here, and characters that are not on just on the periphery, characters that are going to be a big deal. Gisela is going to be a big deal. Hild already is relatively a big deal.
Yep.
And it's all being framed, especially with Gisela and Hild, in the form of Uhtred's Posse. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. Uhtred's Posse.
Okay.
We have Hallig. We have Hild.
Hallig is the like random guy.
Yeah, Hallig is the guy like, that
tawny hair, little
with
scrawny.
The beard. Yeah, with the beard. Yeah, Hallig's there.
Okay,
and he's the one that's being sold off into slavery with Uhtred. We have Hild. Now we have an addition of Sitric, who was one of the would-be assassins that have been brought on to Uhtred's army. Mm-hmm. We have Clappa, who is actually played by World's Strongest Man. What's his name? Magnus.
Okay, the big guy.
Yeah, Magnus Samuelson.
Very cool.
Obviously, Hild. We get this whole group of posse that's forming.
It's pretty
cool. I really like this, and especially knowing too that Sitric was brought on to the army for Uhtred because Uhtred knows well enough that Sitric is the bastard son of Kjartan. That's what he says. But he also knows this person has a lot of information that I need, and he swears on Thor's hammer, and that's the deal.
I love that.
And that is such a strong move from Uhtred. Smart move. The guy, Tekel.
Tekel.
Is
he going to tickle?
Who came to steal Uhtred, who was in Game of Thrones.
When they were like, oh, your horse is sick, my lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was actually in Game of Thrones. He played Harry Strickland, the leader of the Golden Company in season 8.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, who basically did nothing.
Exactly.
Just throw that out there. You know what? I'm out on him. You want to know why? Because the guy just should have grabbed Uhtred.
What are we doing?
Put a bag on his head and gotten the hell out of town. Don't worry about taking the eye right then and there. Do it on the road.
Exactly.
What are we doing, guy?
Come on, buddy. Get out of this
place
where you could be in danger. Yes.
What are we talking about? You out of your mind. And my great, though, is that, again, this show has done such a great job in taking one thing, saying it to you, and reframing it. The first one I brought up was the king, the slave turning to king, and the lord turning into the slave. But also, something really smart and awesome happens here. And it's the one thing that I will give Guthrid credit for.
Okay.
Uhtred says to Guthrid, there are times when you must be ruthless. Men must fear you. And Guthrid does it. He actually does it. He takes the town bully, punches him in the face, and stuffs him in a locker, and says, "Get out of here." And now everybody, and of course, the town bully being Uhtred. That's awesome. That is really awesome. And I love how Uhtred's own words start his own demise. Whether or not that's a conscious choice or whatever, the fact of the matter is that it still happened.
Yeah.
And I am in on that. And I love these thematic reversals that are happening. Great stuff. All right, Marvin, anything else you got for this episode? Why? You said it was a 4-7. What stands out to you that makes it a 4-7?
I mean, the power-packed punch that we just got with this episode that we've already talked about. I mean, we go from Uhtred making love with Guthrid's sister, not good, not a good idea, to him being a slave. I mean, just this, there's so much that happens. We have the Kjartan thing happening. We have the beheadings. We have people trying to come in and, you know, rile things up while they're still in Guthrid's camp. There were so many bits that happened that I was wondering if we can kind of go time-wise along through it and break it on down from there. What I am not a fan of is the dead person, the dead saint.
St. Cuthbert.
St. Cuthbert and...
Cuthbert.
Whatever.
Stats
and
of a nerd.
Teeth that Bjarke has. Like, I am just all out on this. This should have been my bad. I'm just all out in this, like, let's carry him around. Let's, like, hawk off some of his items of his body. Gross!
Can you imagine?
No.
I was saying to Mary when we were watching it, being like, being that guy that you're told, okay, yeah, we're going to go for this giant journey. We're going to go for a giant hike.
With an army.
With an army, and we're going to have horses, and we're going to have food, and we're going to have the whole thing, and we're going to be walking a number of different miles.
Yes.
And we're going to need somebody to carry a dead body and with a box. And the guy that we picked is you. Jimmy, get out there.
Congratulations, Jimmy.
Get out there, pick that thing up, and start hauling it.
It carries the most important thing of our community.
You're just going to carry that thing the entire... How bad do your shoulders got to... How much scoliosis are you going to get?
Quite a good deal.
Carrying that thing.
Quite a good deal.
Like, what are we talking about? Again, oh, God, Guthrie, he sucks. And brother Abbot Edred and brother True, that whole crew can just go pound sand.
Honestly, I mean, they're just so... They just believe themselves. They're not great listeners. They believe that their way is the way, and that this dead guy that they're carrying around is the most important thing, and that his, because who's the one who's more in charge? True?
Or? No, Abbot Edred.
Abbot Edred. Like, just like you said in the last episode, you know, he's kind of using the king, King Guthrie, as a puppet. You
totally.
Know, he's able to say, oh, I don't think this is a good idea. And, you know, we should be wary of X, Y, Z. You know, even the way that they're able to talk to Guthrie, they convince Guthrie to not be cool with Uhtred.
Yeah, right. In favor of getting 200 Christian men from Aelfrich.
Yeah. A.K.A.
Uncle Scar.
all these names.
Who, by the way, makes a great reappearance in this episode.
He... Does he ask about me? Does he talk about me?
He's like a scored girl, 14-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing that this show has done also. It has brought its roots back, or it's brought its story back to its roots.
Mm-hmm.
The confrontation with Kiaratan. That has now come... Face forward. Like,
yes.
That is it. Same thing with Uncle Aelfrich, Uncle Scar. That is now right into the forefront of the story.
Yeah.
We took a little bit of a detour in the first season, but now we're back at it again, albeit with other players, whether it is Eric and Siegfried, who are part of this alliance, I guess, now that Guthrie has created.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see where this show is going to go. And where this show has put Uhtred. I mean, they have sent him into slavery.
Oh my gosh, right?
We talked last episode about, you know, putting him down a notch.
Mm-hmm. This is taking all the notches away.
You are now a slave. You can't
not
even see the notches anymore.
Exactly.
That's that. What did you think about this choice, Mary?
You know, it's such an interesting journey for this young man. We see him really putting his heart out there for the people that he decides to help serve, really still sticking true to that he's going to get Bebenberg back, and that's his long-term goal. But he's helping people along the way, and he's trying to find himself. And then this happens. He's supposed to be the Lord of Bebenberg.
Yep. The one in charge of King Guthrie's army.
The one who was in charge of King Alfred's army. Like,
yes.
This is... crazy. And for them at the end of this episode to say, you're no longer a warrior.
Yeah.
You know, you're a slave
now.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. That is Uhtred's identity. That is what he does.
Yep.
So not only is this going to be bad for him in many ways, because obviously they're going to take him somewhere. He's not going to be able to easily escape, but also just the mental wherewithal that even though he hasn't been necessarily the Lord of Bebenberg, he's kind of been treated by at least his tight posse like he's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's been looked up to and admired, and people have been able to talk about his bravery and how great he is in battle.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to have any of that right now.
Oh,
his
man,
whole
brutal.
Identity is being scraped.
Absolutely brutal. And watching him say, kill me, and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just the worst. I mean... You're right, Mary. He's done so much to help people. And I love the phrase that he said, I've been baptized twice, and it's just words and water.
Like, yeah.
Such a great line. And the irony here is that two of his most trusted compatriots, as of this moment,
mm-hmm.
are legitimately super, super God Christian.
Yes.
Hild
and Bianca.
And Bianca.
Father Bianca, my boy.
I find that that bit, again, taking the theme and just flipping it on itself. Not theme and anti-theme necessarily, but just having a real representation of opposites and how they are, how they do come together to form hopefully a new synthesis. They come together to hopefully find in Uhtred something that works for him if and when, hopefully, I'm sure he does, get out of slavery. How long do you think we're in for the ride here for the slavery thing?
Until he breaks free from slavery?
Or someone, do you think Breeda and Ragnar are the one that save him?
Yeah, let's give it to them. Let's let these Danes do their job and set him free. I think it'll just be one episode because these episodes cover so much ground. If this was a different television series, I might even say it might take all season. The way that The Last Kingdom is able to cross time in each episode in such great bounds, I think they can do it in an episode. I'm gonna go crazy and say one episode.
I'm gonna say two episodes because you're right. The way that this show just plows through its plot. I can't see. I mean, how long are you gonna have your main character on, you know, the outskirts? I mean, granted, this show, this episode really actually put the screws to Hallig and Hild, meaning they spent, this episode spent a lot of time with them.
Yes.
Whether it is Hild cutting heads off with this with her nubby little like kitchen knife. Give me a butter knife. I'll cut the guy's head off.
Gross.
Mary could not watch that.
No, that was just the sound effects alone. I'm like, this is, I'm all set.
And, but also spending a lot of time again with Hallig as well when he is, helping protect Uhtred. I mean, saving him from getting stolen and having that smart, being that smart, not like knowledge of being like, hey, where were those Danes that we would just, everybody in the world can see that these Danes scream just, we're going to murder everybody, except for King Guthred.
He's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, sure. Come on in. Hey, here's my here's my social security card.
I'm part Dane too. We've got that in common.
So we have a lot of that. And I do like that it's spending a lot of time with those characters. So we actually get a chance to appreciate them and the way that we did Leofric, right?
Yep.
But I don't think that this show can survive with having Uhtred on the outskirts for that long. I think it has to bring him back to the forefront.
Agreed.
And I would say two episodes at most, where we're probably going to get him as a slave. What do you think about Gisela and how that relationship between Uhtred's she and Uhtred?
Sister?
How she and Uhtred are a thing now.
Not surprised, I'll first tell you that, because Uhtred gets a new girlfriend every single episode. He tried with a nun, that didn't work, so he'll find the other female that is on this show right now.
Yep.
Like, it's like, you can bang a horse, you can have have relations with your friends.
You can bang a horse?
Or the one woman that is there.
Or the killer nun.
No, yeah. But she's a no-go.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
I'm not surprised. I'm excited because she's kind of part Dane too. You know, she's the smart, she's the brains behind her brother. So I like that. You know, Uhtred obviously has some good taste. They're hot looking ladies who are really cool for the most part. They've got either like magic skills or they've got some really good brains. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, is she going to get pregnant from their little rendezvous in the tent? Or was that just like a one and done, but like that was fun? Did he take her virginity? Because she didn't seem like this was her first time. She was like, oh, I'm excited to be with you. But I didn't feel like there was, oh, I'm a virgin. Like all the fathers have kept me pure, thinking that one day my brother will be king. I feel like her brother wasn't king.
Yep.
And she's part Dane. And she's had like, fun.
We're gonna do what we want to do.
And now she's like, now I'm royalty.
I mean, Abbot Edred does say that, you know, he has to keep her virginity in check and the whole thing. And dude, super creepy, like, by the way. Super creepy. Sending Brother True to like spy on these people and, you know, talking about how the peacock has to call an Uhtred a peacock and the whole thing. Like, super creepy. That guy,
100%.
That guy might be on my top five creepy list of all time.
So obviously she cares for Uhtred. She's going to be upset with her brother anyway. You know, when Uhtred says, why won't you just kill me? He's like, oh, my sister would be upset with me.
Right, right.
Okay, buddy. Yeah, well, how do you think she's going to feel about this?
This ain't going to help matters.
She's going to try to help find him, okay?
You know, she's going to run off. And I love that scene too when Uhtred is being carried off and Hilda's there. She's like, what do you want me to do? He's just like, get my sword and go.
Yes.
Just go. And Gisela has the knowledge too. She has the smarts to be like, I got to get out of town, guy. We got to go. So I like that there is this. She's a real character.
Yeah.
They've
all been real.
No, I know, but like she's like, she has this.
She's a bit more mature.
Her.
Yeah, she's a bit. Uhtred's getting older, and now his interest might be in a little bit more of a more mature woman.
Are you buying Gisela more than you bought Isolde?
Yes.
How come?
I just feel like she gets things done a bit more. She could run a household. She could run an army. I see her a little bit more like Breeda. Like, this is a strong, independent woman.
Yes.
Isolde, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, it's funny, and it's a little bit ironic because they spent probably just as much time developing the relationship between Gisela and Uhtred that they did for Isolde and Uhtred.
I'm not saying I love her, that I want to see her forever and ever. I'm just saying if I had to choose, I would pick her over the witch woman.
The witch woman. It's true. Hey,
just
you know
my
what?
Personal preference.
And amidst all of this, Mary, the show still finds a way to maintain its sense of humor. It still finds a way to not be so dour and not, because again, we've talked about it. I love dour. I'm all about the dour and serious and dramatic nature of television. Give it to me all. Like The Leftovers was perfect for me because it was just so black in its soul. And I love that kind of stuff. But I also too do love the humor when you can mix it in with a show that is, when you're watching people get beheaded or people being sold off to slavery. I mean, there are a couple of great instances when Halleck told the guy, Telek, oh, I told you you're going to die. You're going to die a slow death.
Yeah.
When Hild and Klappa are just tooling on Halleck because he won't listen to Citric. And they're like, and he's like, you know, they're just laughing at him when Halleck's trying to make his plan. And, or even Father Bjarke saying that even Uhtred's scars are handsome.
Like, yes.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
They really do. It's a brilliant show where they're able to weave in the humor, the seriousness, even the gross brutality that makes me want to vomit, like Hild cutting off a guy's head. But they're able to weave it all together.
Yeah.
And it feels really, it meshes well.
Yeah. The last thing I want to say to you, Mary, is Father Bjarke, what did you think about his final goodbye to Uhtred? And what do you think that portends for Father Bjarke?
I think he might die.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, this is a great tool that writers use when somebody is about to die.
I hope that he doesn't die and Uhtred and saves him somehow.
You know what?
Like, I hope that Bjarke is, you know, held captive for some reason, and that Uhtred saves him. I don't want Bjarke to die.
All right, here we go. Well, the easy thing to say is that Father Bjarke is going to die. And again, generally, writers, when they want to kill somebody off, the most famous example of this is episode of Game of Thrones season 8, when before the Battle of Winterfell, episode 2, they all get together and just sit around a fire and talk. And like, that is that moment of reconciliation. That is that moment to stop and take a deep breath and say, okay, this could be it here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how all the things that are good and impart some knowledge before we all go off to die. That is a general writing tool. And they clearly, I think, are using that here. I'm going to say he dies. I'm going to say he dies.
And I'm going to cry.
And you know why?
Why?
Because Uhtred is now in slavery. And when you think he's low now, when Father Bjarke dies, like, there's that great moment when he says, you know, hey, you should come back and be with me.
Yes,
you can be my priest. And he says, oh, you are in need of a priest. Mm-hmm. And Uhtred says, only if he's Bjarke.
Maybe we can think Bjarke's dead, but he's not, and then he comes back.
That would be interesting. That's a good take right there.
Okay.
That's a microwave take.
That would work with me.
I like the idea that Bjarke dies, not because I want him to die, but just for the story purposes of it. You think that it's bad when he goes into slavery? Let's just find out that when he finally gets out, let's say Breida and Ragnar do get him out. All of a sudden, he gets out, he thinks everything is great, and Bjarke's dead. Like, that is low, 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 low. And I really like that
idea. I just feel like all of his loved ones keep dying. You know, he lost his baby. He just lost Isolde. So I just want him to have a happy moment. You know, can there be a happy episode soon? Kind of like a Thanksgiving, like reunion. It's a potluck. Everybody's there. They're laughing.
Bringing turkey legs.
I'm essentially like envisioning Claire's happy place in the finale that she makes up in her head. Yeah.
I'm just envisioning medieval times.
Okay.
Just people with big steins of beer, you know,
turkey legs.
Yeah.
Digging it.
Throwing axes and stuff. last thing I want to say, Mary, is, Guthred.
King
Guthred.
Yeah.
Calling Uhtred Osbert. Oh, man. Just another knife in the back, just digging it in there, twirling it around.
We all have those people who like don't like to be called by the nickname and mm-hmm. they prefer their long formal name or the opposite. Oh.
Yeah.
And that ruffles your feathers. Imagine what this does to him.
Do you blame Guthred for doing what he did?
Not really.
I'll tell you why.
This guy's learning. We all make mistakes. The problem is that he's making mistakes on a king scale.
Yes.
And he didn't. I don't like him. I don't think he should be king. I hope he dies in the next episode or something, as I have a hiccup. Shows you how serious I am about it. sorry, friends. And I'm glad we're actually wrapping up soon because I'm gonna have a case of the hiccups. It sounds like.
We're gonna wrap it up here in a minute.
So that way you all don't have to hear me hiccup forever. Obviously I don't like his decision, and obviously it's the wrong decision. You look at Alfred when he kind of caged up Uhtred and he learned his ways and ended up trusting him, and now this king is handling things very differently. But on the flip side, people who are that in control of like countries and need to do these things is able to sit there and say, Uhtred is worth 200 men.
Yeah.
You know, I need an army. I want to advance this cause. I need to make sure that I'm protected and grow. Okay, one guy for 200. It's an easy trade.
Yeah, and especially when you see Guthred. Like, I don't blame Guthred, especially when he tells Uhtred, dude, lay off my sister. And mm-hmm. Uhtred just keeps going and says, let me marry her.
Yeah.
I could be your rival. So I'm Eric's, you know, equal here.
Yeah.
Let her do it. And I don't blame him, but I love seeing the contrast of Guthred against Alfred. When they show up, when everybody shows up and they're saying, hey, oh my goodness, Hild shows up and says, Uhtred is taken prisoner. Everything is just calm and collected. And he's like, it's not that I don't want to help him. It's that I don't know where to find him.
Exactly.
And everything is just right.
Yeah.
You can feel the command. You can feel the presence, and contrast that against Guthred's kingdom mm-hmm. and how everything is just a mess.
Absolute chaos. Following a guy who has teeth falling out of a corpse.
And bringing Danes in without realizing, and people are getting captured.
Yeah,
and
in the stalls.
Cutting heads off. And like, it's just a whole thing.
It's utter chaos.
And then the last thing I want to say too, and I know I said this before, but Gisela, in relation to that contrast, Guthred says, my sister will do her duty. Mm-hmm. And Gisela's, you know, response to Uhtred about that is, I will not be his gift. Oh! I think that was the line that put me on the Gisela train.
Agreed.
That was the one that
is a strong woman.
Like, Give me all the Gisela.
Like, I'm the one that planned to make sure that there was a ransom, and yeah. I was the one that did all these things. I'm not surprised to be one.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Anything else you want to say about this episode, my darling?
I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm excited to go forward.
All right. Well, we already gave you an early Destined to Be Theory of the Week, so let's close this bad boy out.
Thank you all so incredibly much for tuning into this episode and watching this show along with us, whether you're watching it on the replay or you're watching it as you go along with us in this episode. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a little review. We would love for more friends who are watching The Last Kingdom, who are finding it, or maybe they're doing a rewatch, to come on in and check it out as well.
Yeah, if you find that what we're doing here gives you value and it adds to your experience of watching this show and having the community that surrounds it with all you nerds that are out there, please do give us a written review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or on Facebook or whatever. It helps us, and it helps expose your thoughts about our show, so that when other people come in to listen to it, they get a good idea of whether or not you like it or you think we suck. I don't know.
Hey.
I mean, I want you to like it. That's what
I
I'm hoping.
Too.
That's
I
what
do
I'm hoping.
Too.
Do we have a review that you'd like to read?
That's what I'm looking for right now.
Okay.
We have A Girl in Korea, attention all history nerds. For those of you who are not familiar with Marion Blake, do yourself a favor and check them out. You won't be disappointed. They bring a brilliant mixture of endearing character interpretation and comic exposition to all their shows. I've been enjoying their podcast since Outlander premiered years ago. I was so excited to hear them do their thing with The Last Kingdom, and it's been just as entertaining as I knew it would be. Blake is a fellow history nerd, and Mary, who is not, is hilariously cute coming at all these historical names and situations. They are both incredibly knowledgeable about production methods in the entertainment industry, which brings a lot of depth to all their shows. Highly recommend this podcast and all their podcasts on Mary and Blake Media. Thank you so incredibly much.
All right, thank you. That just made my day. Thank you. And of course, there are other ways to get in touch with Mary and I. Go to all of the social media platforms, whether it is Facebook or Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and yes, even TikTok.
Blake has decided it can be.
I still think it's ruining America, but I will partake. I will partake.
So you're going to be seeing more content there as well.
Yes.
All right, friends. For that, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.